Welcome to the show called Let's Talk Homeschool, brought to you by Apologia Educational Ministries. This is the show where we talk about everything homeschooling, the who, what, when, where, why, and how. We want to affirm and encourage you in the decision to homeschool, challenge and inspire you to take it to new heights, and celebrate everything you get to experience along the way in this adventure of a lifetime. We are your hosts, Davis and Rachel Carmen. And we want to remind you, our listening audience, that you can now watch us on YouTube, or you can continue listening on your favorite podcast app. Today's show is titled, How Many Times? And the theme is, Look at Me. Okay, Rachel, let's talk homeschool. So this is part three in a 13-part series. The first was an introduction. We looked at a first topic, and this is our second topic, which is Look at Me, which is one of the 68 chapters in Rachel's book titled, How Many Times Do I Have to Tell You? And we're affectionately referring to this series as How Many Times? So Look at Me. This is something parents find themselves saying to their kids that God might also be saying to you as a parent. So start diving into the details of what came to mind when you wrote this short chapter, Look at Me.
Yeah, so first of all, if you're listening to this today, I bet you've said this to your kids today, because so often you're trying to talk to your kids and they're not paying attention, they're not listening, they're not dialed in. And one of our ways as moms that we get our kids' attention is we go, okay, wait, pause, look at me. This is what we're going to do. This is what I need you to do, blah, 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 blah. And very often our kids will know what's coming, right? And so they're avoiding eye contact. They're not looking at us. They're doing other things. Maybe they're distracted by a device. Maybe they're distracted by a book. That'd be a great thing, right? Distracted by an argument with a sibling. Distracted by a granola bar. I don't know. They could be distracted by a million different things. And we just need them to take their eyes off of what that is so that we can connect with them. Because looking at somebody, especially in the eye, is a way of connection. And I can really see, okay, we're together in this moment. Okay, now I'm going to say something to you. It's also a way to check in if somebody is upset or distressed and you can tell, but they're not really shooting straight with you. You can say, okay, look at me. Are you okay? And so there's a couple of different ways we use this phrase with our kids. But I'm betting that if you took up on the dare from the first episode, this made your list. This is something that you say probably more than once a day. And I know that I said it to our kids all the time. The funny thing was, when our kids were home, I was very, very likely to say, look at me, and fail to mention the right name of the kids standing in front of me. So that was a thing. But I really wanted to make sure that our kids, I didn't want to talk at them. I really wanted to connect with them. And that's why I would say, look at me. But if we want to take that deeper to a more spiritual level, then I really think the God of the universe is saying, hey, look at me. I mean, I get that you want your kids to look at you. I really want you to look at me. And I believe God's in the business of showing off. This is something I say quite often through all of the podcasts, because I think it is, it's one of those things that's true in a lot of different discussions that we've had. And that's the whole idea of God really wanting to wow and woo us through creation, sunrise, sunset, all of the different bugs, the trees, the beauty of the blooms, the flowers, all of that. And I think he really is saying, hey, look at me. Look what I did. Look what I created. Look at the beauty that surrounds you. Look at all these things that I'm doing for you. And I think far too often we are highly distracted by all of the things that don't matter as much as he does.
No, it's so true. And when you first started talking about just trying to get a kid's attention by saying, look at me, that's really, in a sense, at some level, teaching them good relational skills. Mm-hmm. When you're talking with anybody or having any kind of conversation, if they're not looking at you, you're not sure if you have a peer's attention.
Yeah.
But when you listen by looking in their eyes,
right,
the eye contact is almost more important to listening than are the sound waves going into the ears. And so that eye connection, looking at somebody, being looked at while you're having a conversation is so vital. And it reminds me of a great verse, Numbers 6:25, when the Lord can make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you, the Lord lifting up his countenance upon you and giving you peace. And I love the picture of God lifting up our faces to look at him, to have that eye contact with the God of the universe. He wants to look in our eyes, and he wants us to look in his eyes in a spiritual sense, because there is a relationship going on.
And David talked about gazing on the face of the Lord, right, in the temple, that that's what he wanted to do. But I really think our devices have made us lazy.
Sure.
Because devices do not, they don't demand us to look people in the eye, right? I mean, we can just text somebody, or we can just email somebody, and we can be curt, or we can be serious. We can even say, I love you, but it doesn't require eye contact anymore. And we've come to accept that. Right. And so I think we've grown lazy. And I know that I have tried to endeavor, even when I'm talking to waiters and waitresses or someone at the checkout, to actually look them in the eye and ask them how they're doing. Because I just think so often we're talking past each other and we're talking at each other, but we're not really communicating. And there's something about being seen. There's something about locking eyes with somebody. How you doing today? How's it going? That changes everything.
Well, it does, because you mentioned two things. The first was just the look at me, do I have your attention? Mm-hmm. But the second is, I would phrase it this way. Look at me. Are you okay? Mm-hmm. And it's a different type of connection you're trying to make, because maybe you sense that they're hurting or there's a distance, mm-hmm. and you want to have some empathy and compassion by saying, look at me. Let's connect eyes here. Are you okay? Are we okay?
Well, I'll say in the conversations that I've had with pretty much strangers, right? When I dare to look them in the eye and say, how you doing today? Man, they'll tell you. I mean, a whole world of possibilities opens up, as opposed to just, how you doing? Fine. And you're just going through the motions, packing your groceries, putting them in your cart. You're not really, neither one of you is paying attention. I mean, they're saying, did you find everything okay? Because that's what they ask everybody. They're saying, thank you, because that's what they say to everybody, but you're really not making a connection. And so I really believe we have an opportunity to look other people in the eye, not just our children, not just our spouses, but actually strangers, and communicate the love of God to them by actually caring for them and connecting with them. The best story that I know in the Bible about this whole look at me idea, though, we can look and talk about after we take a break with Apologia.
Homeschool moms are raving about Apologia's Exploring Creation with Mathematics curriculum, calling it a total game changer. With hands-on math activities and games, short 30-minute lessons, an open-and-go format, and a suggested 4-day week schedule, your children will love Apologia's math curriculum. One mom said, I think I found it. I've been searching for years for the perfect math curriculum. Something hands-on that has short lessons and everything laid out in an easy-to-use parent manual for me. Apologia knocked it out of the park with this one. So many homeschool families have switched to Apologia Math after struggling with other curricula and having seen their children become excited about math for the first time. Visit apologia.com/math today and discover why so many homeschoolers are switching to Apologia Math. Now, I'm also going to add an additional comment to that little commercial we did. We were at a conference not that long ago, mm-hmm. and a young homeschool girl came up to me, and she looked at our booth, and she saw Apologia Math Level 6. She was so excited, because she was one of these students who was starting to not like math very much and getting discouraged. And so she was talking to her mom. They switched to Apologia Math Level 5 last year, and she fell in love with math.
That's awesome.
And so she was saying, oh, please, I hope Level 6 is out. She came to the booth, saw it. I got a picture of her. It was so precious, because this girl knew her math publisher and knew that, okay, I know I can love math by doing this curricula. So,
well, I got to say, I'm jealous that our kids didn't get it.
I know.
But I'm glad that we've done it for other families. But I know that I would have liked to have had Apologia Math for my kids, because I was not a math person. You were a math person. It made sense to you. I would have loved to have had the benefit of Apologia Math. So avail yourself of Apologia Math. Go, people, and get that. So now I want to talk about my favorite story that, to me, aligns with this idea of look at me. And with each one of the quotes in the book, all 68 have a biblical story that goes alongside of them. So these are not just off the top of my head. But you all know by now that one of my favorite characters in the Bible is Peter. And you know, Peter had this distracted fisherman thing going on. You can look at for moments of distraction all through Peter's story arc. And yet there was this one time when you'll remember that he and his fellow fishermen are out in the boat. Jesus is up on the mountain praying, and they are being battered by the waves. It's a rough night on the water. And they've been working really hard. And I can just imagine, it's one thing to work hard during the day. And I love to work hard. I love to break a sweat, especially out in the yard. But in the middle of the night, I mean, you've got the work hard, sweat thing going on, but you're exhausted. And I can imagine when I read this passage, they were hungry too. So if you want to go back and read this, Matthew 14, 28 through 31, they are working hard and they're not making any progress. And that's worse, to be working really hard. You're tired, you're hungry, and you're not seeing any progress. So that's this moment, right? And right about then, they see this, what they believe to be a ghost, walking towards them on the water. And I can just imagine, hot, sweaty, working hard, hungry, exhausted. Maybe they are seeing something on the water. I mean, it's just not been their night, right? And they think that Jesus, who's actually what's walking on the water toward them, is a ghost. That kind of makes sense to me, you know, because they're not thinking straight. They're at the end of themselves.
They're tired and exhausted.
They are. And so they see Jesus walking on the water and they think it's a ghost. And he says, fear not, you know, which is always, you know, a thing, that something that's scary. The angel said this, then Jesus says this, fear not. It's just me, Jesus says. And Peter looks up and again, exhausted, hungry, tired, and says, okay, if it's you, tell me to come to you. And I can just see Peter's just, you know, I'm not taking any of this. I just need to know, is this really you or not? And if it's you, tell me to come and I'm going to come to you. And Jesus says, come. And Peter, in my imagination, gets out of that boat really quickly. I mean, the boat's not been doing any favors anyway. He's been fighting the oars and he wants out of the boat, right? As much as he wants this to be Jesus, he wants out of the boat. So he gets out of the boat and scripture tells us that he starts walking on the water. He starts walking.
Wow. Yeah.
With his eyes focused. He's looking at Jesus and he's walking on the water. And yet, you know what I know? He got distracted. He got distracted by the wind and the waves, and he started looking at them more than he was looking at Jesus, and as a result, he went down. And he calls out to Jesus, save me. And Jesus reaches down and pulls him up, and immediately the two of them are in the boat. And Jesus says, where was your faith? This is a powerful scripture to me because it tells us the enormous value of keeping our focus on Jesus. We need to make sure that we're focused on him, that we're looking at him. All of these other things that distract us. For Peter, it was the wind and the waves. As a homeschool mother, it's the clock. It's the paperwork. It's the lesson plans that aren't getting done. It's a million different things, right? We've got to make sure as homeschool moms that we are focused on Jesus and that we are constantly looking at him. And related to that, as we want our kids to be looking to us and we're demanding, requiring them to look at us, we're really blessing them to look to us when we are looking to him, because that's the way it needs to be working. And we see this clearly exemplified in the life of John the Baptist. So you can go back and read this on your own. But John the Baptist in John 1 has all these different moments in that first part of that epistle where people are thinking John's the one. John's the promised one. He's like, yeah, no. It's not me. It's not me. Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. John pointed to what he was focused on, and he was focused on the Christ. That's what we get to do with our kids, as that is, ask them to look to us so that we can point them to him. Ultimately, that's the opportunity we have.
No, that is great. And again, once again, the thing I really like about this book that I think you'll enjoy by reading it is each one of these chapters is not just something we say to our kids, so we can relate to it at that level, but then there is a spiritual lesson. Mm-hmm. That God is probably saying some of the same things to us. And in this case, he's saying, look at me. You're my child. I'd like you to look at me just like when you are saying to your child, look at me. You're saying it for a reason.
Right.
You have their best interest in mind. You have your relationship with them that you're working on, that you're trying to build and teach them. And God is trying to teach you something as well.
Yeah.
So, as always, it's hard to bring these conversations to a close, but it's time to wrap this one up. Thank you for listening. Thank you for watching. We hope you'll join us again next time. This has been Let's Talk Homeschool, brought to you by Apologia Educational Ministries, and we are your hosts, Davis and Rachel Carmen. Have a great day, and until next time, we are walking by faith and enjoying the homeschooling adventure of a lifetime.